Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Valentine's Day on Monday, February 14th, 2022. It's not a very happy day for me because I turned 60 this morning at 12 midnight. And I guess I should be happy. I should be very thankful to God that he has preserved me this many years. And I trust that he will preserve me for many more. Not as many as he has already preserved me. But I look forward to as many years as the Lord in his sovereignty and providence and mercy will give me. Today we have a first-time guest. I'm looking forward to interviewing him. He is one of the speakers at the upcoming True Church Conference. His name is Richard Caldwell, and he is the pastor teacher at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas. Today we are going to be addressing the theme, Spirit-Empowered Preaching, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Richard Caldwell.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you. Happy birthday to you, and look forward to our discussion.
Thank you, brother. And I want to add to today, we are conducting this interview in a pre-recorded fashion. This will not be live when you're hearing it 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, folks. So please, this is one of those rare occasions when I'm asking you not to submit questions to Pastor Caldwell because this is, as I said, pre-recorded. It is being recorded, however, on Monday, February 14th, the same day that it is airing. Tell us something about Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, and even specifically about the name.
Yeah, Chris, our church has been in existence over 40 years. I've been at the church for 24 years. When I first came to the church, the name was Spring Memorial Baptist Church. And it had been planted by a church in our area called Memorial Baptist Church. And after I'd been there for just a while, we recognized that Spring Baptist Church was right down the road from us, and Memorial Baptist Church, the mother church, had recently moved locations and moved right down the road from us. So you had Memorial Baptist Church on one side, you had Spring Baptist Church on the other side, you had Spring Memorial Baptist Church in the middle, and it was just confusing. At the same time, my coming to the church had led to sort of a theological reorientation. Calvinistic doctrine, an understanding of church governance that was somewhat different as well. So elder-led, elder leadership, elder rule instead of congregationalism. And through that whole process, we began to reevaluate a name change. And so at that time, 24 years ago, the Founders Movement was just kind of getting off the ground in Southern Baptist life.
Yeah, with Dr. Tom Askell.
Absolutely. And so we appreciated that and admired that, and we wanted people who would come to visit our church. Our church still is a Southern Baptist church. We wanted people to understand at the outset where we were coming from, what our theological commitments were. And so that was just a way to sort of combine the new direction we were headed with sort of a clarity among some of the Baptists about where we stood. And so that's why we selected the name we did, Founders Baptist Church.
Great. Well, I am so delighted to hear that Founders Baptist Church has the same doctrinal convictions that I cherish. And although I don't always interview people who are theologically identical with me when I broadcast Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, it is just an extra joy to know when I've got a guest on who is echoing the precious doctrines of sovereign grace. If anybody wants more information about Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, the website is foundersbaptist.org, foundersbaptist.org. Before we move into our main theme of the day, Spirit-Empowered Preaching, and also a promotion of the True Church Conference, I'd like you, as a part of our tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, whenever we have a first-time guest, I'd like you to give a summary of your salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere you may have been raised in and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Would love to do that. I came to Christ when I was 16 years old, between my junior and senior years of high school. I thought that I was a Christian from the time that I was seven. So I was raised in a home where there was a very basic intellectual understanding of the gospel among my parents. I was very, very grateful to say that just in God's good providence, I was raised in a loving home. My parents were great parents from a natural point of view. They loved us and took good care of us and all of that, and taught us good moral lessons and were good moral examples for us. And one of the things that they wanted us to know, me and my brother at the time, I later had another brother 10 years after I was born, but in my early years, I had a brother a year and a half younger than me. They wanted us to know that God is, and that there was a need for salvation. And so we were taught those things, but I do not believe that either of my parents were genuine believers at that time. So we would go to church very sporadically. Somewhere around 7 years of age, I attended a Baptist revival meeting, and there was an altar call, and I went forward, and a preacher prayed with me there, and I, you know, prayed a sinner's prayer, and I was baptized thereafter, and held on to that from 7 to 16 years of age as a genuine salvation experience. But I had no hunger for the things that believers hunger for. I had no real hunger to know more scripture. I had no real understanding of the Bible. The times that as I would get older, the times I would attempt to read it, there was no real understanding of what I was reading. When we would attend church, I was happy to get out of there as soon as I could. I wasn't really enjoying it very much. And then when I was about 15, my dad was genuinely converted. My mom may have been converted earlier, but around that time, she took off spiritually too, and there became no doubt that the Lord had graciously brought her to himself as well. So our home changed a lot in the course of a year. And all of a sudden, I was in worship services morning and evening on Sunday and evening on Wednesday evenings, and sitting under a young pastor who was a verse-by-verse expositor to the level that he understood how to do it. I look back now, and there was definitely some immaturity there, but he was doing his best. And so we're going through the book of Romans on Sundays, and everyone thinks I'm a believer. I claim to be a believer. I quickly sort of conformed to my surroundings. But at a youth camp, the summer of my junior year of high school, between my junior and senior years of high school, I'm listening to a pastor preach a sermon, and I come under conviction. And it wasn't by any means a classic sinner's prayer. I simply cried out to the Lord and said, I don't know whether I'm born again or not, but tonight I know what it means to follow your son. And I want Christ. And Chris, from that day until now, and I'm 58 years of age now, it has become apparent that that's when the Lord saved me. In fact, I struggled for a time after that with whether or not I needed to be baptized on the right side of my conversion, whether I was saved at 7 or whether I was saved at 16. And so when I was 19 years old, I submitted to believer's baptism.
Amen.
Because it became plain to me through my growing understanding of Scripture that where there's genuine conversion, there's fruit. And
amen. I wish more Baptists would do that. There are many Baptists who have a right understanding of what might be nicknamed Lordship Salvation. They have a right understanding that a faith without repentance is a dead faith and is not,
right,
and is not a real faith. But very often you will have people who were wrongly baptized because they made some kind of a profession, either as a young child or even later in life, that proved to be a false profession and a false conversion. And when the genuine article comes about by the grace and mercy of Christ, many of them who were biblically baptized in regard to the mode, they were immersed as a so-called believer, they weren't really biblically baptized because there was no repentance involved. And many of them just think that since we do not, as Baptists, believe that baptism is a requirement for salvation or regeneration, but at the same time, in order to, I think, properly obey the command, repentance is required. So I think that folks who have been even baptized by immersion after a profession of faith, if they realize later in their lives, when they truly get saved, that they're earlier profession was false, I believe they should be rebaptized. And I applaud you for what you did.
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, baptism is an external sign of an internal reality. And so if the reality is missing, the sign is empty. It means nothing. It would be like wearing a wedding ring before you get married. You've got a wedding ring on your finger, but you're not married. And so the wedding ring only becomes a genuine sign of marriage after marriage. And then the same is true with salvation. It's only after a genuine conversion, genuine new birth, genuine life, baptism has meaning.
Yeah, or another analogy might be you're wearing a wedding ring after you got married, but you're a habitual unrepentant adulterer. And you're not actually living according to the vows you made. So, I appreciate that testimony very much. And how was it that you became introduced to and embraced the doctrines of sovereign grace, also nicknamed Reformed theology or Calvinism?
Early on in my Christian life, I was exposed to the ministry of John MacArthur, and I began to listen to John's preaching ministry, and through that came to a decision early on that I know that the authority is Scripture alone, but this man is a faithful teacher, and so I want to learn everything I can from him. And so I just sort of made it a point of mine for a couple of years to get my hands on anything that John wrote or anything that he produced so that I could learn ministry, ecclesiology, preaching from someone that I knew was a good example. And in doing that, I began then to read faithful men whom John had read. So my reading expanded, my learning expanded. And through that, I'm introduced to, you know, Spurgeon. I'm introduced to others who, and even, of course, outside of Baptist circles. So we're talking about R.C. Sproul and others who had a big influence on my thinking and began to help me understand the Scriptures, which ultimately answers why any of us believes these things. I believe these things not because MacArthur taught them or Spurgeon taught them or Sproul taught them or Calvin taught them. I believe these things because the Scripture teaches them.
Amen. In fact, when I came to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, I don't know how many months it was after I came to Christ and was baptized, my pastors and some folks in the church knew that I was really struggling with these doctrines called Calvinism, and I was really vehemently rejecting them. I was angry about them. And a brother in the church from England, Nigel Stone, who's now in heaven with the Lord, he said to me, "I've heard that you have some troubles with the doctrines of sovereign grace. Let me give you this booklet." And he gave me George Whitefield's letter to John Wesley on election.
Yes.
Published by Chapel Library. I did not know who John Wesley was. I did not know who George Whitefield was. I did not know who John Calvin was. I did not know who Charles Spurgeon was. So the issue was that George Whitefield so biblically refuted John Wesley's arguments against Calvinism. And John Wesley had a lot more biblical arguments against Calvinism than I had. And George Whitefield so beautifully and biblically refuted all of them that my initial reaction was, "Oh no, this is true, but I still hate it." But then, within a month or two, I fell madly in love with the doctrines of sovereign grace, and it really revolutionized my own understanding of salvation, and it personalized the substitutionary atonement provided by Christ on Calvary, because instead of Jesus dying for a sea of faceless, nameless humanity, dying, hoping that these people for whom he was dying would be saved, it just totally transformed it to Jesus Christ died for me, Chris Arnzen. Chris Arnzen was on his heart and mind when he died on Calvary, and he finished the mission. He 100% accomplished the mission that he set out to do, and he guaranteed my salvation through that precious act of redemption on the cross.
Amen. 100%. Yeah, that's wonderful, Chris. That's right. And as you know, Chris, I mean, it doesn't just transform our understanding of soteriology, but it also transforms our understanding of everything, really. It becomes a paradigm by which now we see the world. When you understand the sovereignty of God, everything else comes into a new focus. And even when it comes to things like evangelism, you no longer are someone trying to persuade a person by your own argumentation or some sort of personality influence or anything like that, emotional pressure. Rather, you are presenting the gospel, trusting the Spirit of God, yet genuinely exhorting someone to come to faith in Christ because God's at work through personality and you genuinely love this person you're sharing with. Nonetheless, you leave the results to God because you understand who saves and who converts, and it's not us, it's the Lord.
Amen. In fact, I think that only Calvinists can logically and consistently say that they owe 100% of the praise, honor, and glory for their salvation to Christ alone. Arminians and other non-Calvinists will say that, but they're really not being logically consistent when they do.
And I love the way you express that. I think if they're genuine believers, their desire to give glory to God alone is genuine. They're sincere about that. They just haven't thought through how logically inconsistent it is. So I love the way you put that, and you're right. It's only those who believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation that can logically, consistently give all praise and glory to God.
I want to make it also clear, folks, that I am making no such false argument that all Calvinists are superior Christians to all Arminians and other non-Calvinists. That's ridiculous. There are brothers and sisters in Christ whose Christian faith, their walk with Christ, their obedience to Christ, far exceeds and is far superior to my own. Folks who are even in the Arminian camp, who are more obedient Christians. They are better spouses than I was. They're better children to their parents. They're better parents to their children. They're better employees, employers, citizens, and on I could go, even though they are not they have not been given the insight into the doctrines of sovereign grace and have not yet embraced them. So I'm not claiming that just because somebody may be correct in their theology and in agreement with me that they are superior to other Christians outside of the Calvinist camp. I'm not saying that at all, and I'm certainly not saying that you must be a Calvinist to be saved. There is a group out there, I'm sure you're aware, brother, who believe that if you do not believe in the 5 points of TULIP, you are lost, you are damned. And some of these folks have even come to assign John Calvin to the ranks of the reprobate because Calvin did not believe you had to understand and agree with every tenet of his faith to be saved. Some of these folks go as far as if you give an open door or extend a hand of brotherhood to a non-reformed person, that you are also damned, regardless of what your doctrines are yourself. I mean, it's really crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy, and I love that you add that, Chris, because, and I'm not saying that this proves any sort of point. I think it's just the result of salvation history in the country that we live in. But it is interesting to me that most Calvinists today were once faith in Christ by Arminians.
Yes.
We're evangelized by people who don't believe what we believe. And so it's humorous to think that somehow, as you put it, we're superior just because we have come to grasp these things or by the grace of God seen these things. It's not any sort of superiority. Like everything else in the Christian life, it's just a mercy.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something that most people in the Restoration Movement, also known as the Church of Christ, revere Alexander Campbell as a hero. And yet they would, today, not all, but many would insist today that even a Baptist who comes to genuine faith in Christ has to be rebaptized because you must believe it is a requirement for the remission of sins in order to be saved. And yet, Alexander Campbell, who was baptized by a Baptist, was never rebaptized.
Wow, that's amazing.
But tell us about the True Church Conference, where you are one of the speakers on a really phenomenal roster of speakers. And I just thank God that I will be attending this conference by God's grace. Tell us about the True Church Conference.
Well, this will be my first time attending myself. I've been aware of the conference, but I've never been able to attend, and this will be my first exposure to it. So I don't think I'm the best guy to ask about its history or what most characterizes it. What I do know is the respect that I have for Pastor Jeff Noblet. And Jeff has been in our church. He's preached at our conference, which is Truth and Love. We have that in January every year. And I just admire Jeff's conviction, which is genuine and immovable, about what makes for healthy churches and what it means to be a faithful ministry. I found Jeff to be courageous, and he doesn't wait for someone else to do what is right before he's willing to do it. He takes the first step when the Lord has put something on his heart. I know their church pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he gave reasons why, and I can't disagree with his reasons. As I said, our church is still affiliated. We're not very involved, but we're still loosely affiliated. Nonetheless, I appreciate Jeff's convictions, and just watching what the Lord has done through his ministry, the Lord has made great use of him, and so have great love and admiration for that brother and look forward to being with him.
Yes, there is an error, actually, on the website, folks. So when you go to anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/, you will see that it states on the website that the conference is February 17th through the 20th. It is actually February 18th through the 20th, this Thursday through Sunday. So just keep in mind that that is a typo, and I hope somebody at Anchored in Truth Ministries is listening. so that they can correct that. That may make or break some folks' plans to attend if they think it's wrongly, if they wrongly think, I should say, it's starting on February 17th, but it's starting on February 18th, which is this Thursday. And once again, that website is anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/. anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/. We're going to be going to our first station break. And when we return, we're going to be getting into the heart of our discussion today, Spirit-Empowered Preaching. Once again, folks, this is one of those very rare pre-recorded interviews. It is being recorded on Monday, February 14th, 2022, but it is being recorded at an earlier time of day than our live broadcast, and it will be airing during that live slot, God willing, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern today, February 14th. So since it is a pre-recorded interview, when you're listening to it during the live slot, please don't bother submitting questions because there's going to be nobody here in the studio to answer them. So save your questions for the next time we have a truly live interview occurring. But we're going to be right back after these messages with more of Richard Caldwell, pastor teacher at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, on the theme, Spirit-Empowered Preaching. Don't go away.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, I'm heading down to Alabama, actually flying into Nashville tomorrow, and getting a ride on Wednesday from my friend Pastor Bill Sasser of Grace Church at Franklin, who's taking me to Muscle Shoals, Alabama for the True Church Conference. And I hope as many of you as possible will join me there. That's this Thursday through Sunday, February 18th through the 20th. And for more details, go to anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/. That's anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/. Keep in mind that the website and the ad you just heard has a wrong date for the beginning of that conference. It's not Wednesday the 17th, it's Thursday the 18th of February. So I hope to see as many of you there, and I hope that many of you who come to the conference will look for me and introduce yourself to me, especially if you're an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. And we are now back with our guest today, Richard Caldwell, pastor teacher at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas. We are discussing spirit-empowered preaching. And by the way, I wanted to clarify something that we were talking about before. For those of you unfamiliar with the Founders Movement and the Founders Conference, the reason why that movement and conference and Founders Baptist Church use the word founders is because every single founder of the Southern Baptist Convention in the 19th century were thoroughgoing five-point Calvinists, unlike today where we see the those that believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace being a tiny minority of those within the Southern Baptist Convention. Any knowledge as to why you believe this swap occurred, where the doctrines of grace were the dominant teachings of the Southern Baptist Convention for quite a while, and now the reverse is true, that even anti-Calvinism and non-Calvinism flourished there, where those who are Calvinists such as yourself are a tiny minority?
You know, Chris, I haven't studied the history of how that shift happened. What I can say is, you know, revivalism sort of took root in our country, large crusades, crusade preaching, Billy Graham's influence, etc. And of course, thankful for every genuine conversion that came through those means. But I think that sort of led to what I see today as plaguing the convention, and that is pragmatism. Decisional regeneration versus the idea that regeneration precedes faith, that has taken root. And so the result is now evangelism is sort of a battle of wits and a battle of the wills, and that's all across our convention. And I don't think people would put it, I don't think those who don't believe as I do would put it as starkly as I just did, but nonetheless, I think it's what it boils down to. I trust God's means to do God's work, and I trust His Spirit to do what I can't do. And so I'm not trying to engage in a battle of wits or a battle of wills to bring someone to the kingdom of God. I just want to share the gospel faithfully and trust the Lord to do His work in their heart. So I think our convention is plagued by pragmatism, man-centered strategies for doing God's work.
Amen. And today we are highlighting Spirit-empowered preaching, which is the theme of your message at True Church Conference. Some of our charismatic and Pentecostal brethren might look at that and either think, that's strange. I didn't think that Calvinists believed that the Spirit empowered anybody to do anything, or they might think that we are charismatic by using a phrase like that. But the irony is, and I'm assuming you would agree, that those who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, we actually believe that the Holy Spirit has an infinitely more vital role in the Christian life than most charismatics and Pentecostals do, who are predominantly Arminian, because we believe that somebody can't even possess faith without the Holy Spirit's involvement. And the Holy Spirit is the one that sanctifies and preserves us. I mean, don't you think that we have a more vital role in our understanding of the Scriptures that is involving the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I think it's probably true, Chris, but rather than a sort of a comparative, I just think it's what I want to say clearly and plainly is that if you believe all that the Scriptures teach, then you understand that without the Spirit of God's work, we don't have faith. And without the Spirit of God's work, our faith is not maintained. Without the Spirit of God's work, we're not conformed to the image of Christ. Without the Spirit of God's work, we can do nothing. I mean, just as our Savior told us, for without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is our helper. And so without him, we can do nothing. So in every area of life, the most basic things to the things that we usually associate with the Spirit's power, it doesn't matter. In every aspect of our lives without him, we will not be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so we if you believe the Scriptures, then you understand the vital role of the Spirit of God in the lives of believers.
Well, tell us about this specific theme, Spirit-empowered preaching.
It was a theme that was assigned to me, and I rejoiced to be able to preach on the subject. The text that I will deal with Thursday night is 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And let me just read that text because it will sort of serve as a launching point for
Definitely.
It says, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And when you look at that text, Chris, in its context, what you discover is that those verses are really sort of mid-argument in what Paul is talking about. And what he's talking about are problems in the church at Corinth, and specifically the problem of division, and those divisions related to personalities. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. So you had these parties, these divisions arising within the church at Corinth surrounding personalities. And the reason why that was going on is because that church existed in a culture that had a high regard for Greek rhetoric and for philosophy. And so they tended to evaluate speakers based upon how rhetorically skillful they were, and whether they how lofty their ideology seemed to be. And Paul is reminding them that that doesn't even explain your existence in the church. It doesn't explain your experience as believers, because when I came there, I purposely avoided that kind of approach. And he talks about what he rejected in his preaching ministry, so that their faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So here's what I think is interesting. I think today, if we were to ask, what do you think of when you think of spirit-empowered preaching, most people think in terms of presentation. They'll think about what they consider to be sermons that affected them in the moment, that seemed fiery, that seemed impassioned, that seemed emotional, that seemed, you know, name it, but they're thinking in terms of presentation. When I look at the New Testament and what it says about spirit-empowered preaching, I find that it focuses not on presentation, but on production. What is left after the preaching? What is the result after the preaching? What is left in its wake? And what you find is where the Spirit of God has done his work, there are lasting results that match what God promises that his word will accomplish. So in the case of rejecting the gospel, there's a sense in which you've been confronted by the truth of God, and you have knowingly turned your back on what you met with. In terms of conversion, salvation, you find a people who last. You find a people who are genuinely converted, and the result is they're deeply rooted. The Word of God has taken root. They're the good soil by God's grace, and the Word of God takes root, and there's fruit that follows, and the fruit is stable. So where there's spirit-empowered preaching, there is what I describe as there's sort of a gentle wind, a helping wind that has an accumulative effect over time. As the Spirit of God adds the rain and the sunshine, you find healthy churches and healthy believers. So we tend to be mesmerized by what I would call tornado preaching. You know, we love the big moment, where what's really emphasized in the New Testament with spirit-empowered preaching is the work of a farmer, plowing the soil, sowing the seed, trusting the Lord to do what only he can do, and over time you see the Spirit of God's work in the lives of people who've been transformed.
So you seem to be emphasizing not only spirit-empowered preaching, but spirit-empowered hearing.
Oh, yeah, without question. I mean, how you hear the Word of God, we're as dependent as hearers on the Spirit of God as we are as preachers. Unless the Lord is at work in my preaching, it's ineffective. At the same time, unless the Lord is at work in my hearing, the Word of God never takes root in my life. So the emphasis has to be on both. We're talking about what the Spirit of God does in and through preaching. That involves both the preacher and the hearer.
And let me say, for sake of argument and get your response to it, I agree with everything you said, but isn't there an important role for homiletics in the public proclamation, vocal proclamation of God's word, also known as preaching? There are many folks, both in and outside of Reformed theology, who don't seem to think homiletics is a very important issue. You will have folks get up to a pulpit and talk about life and death situations, matters of urgency and eternal consequence, who will be presenting those truths as if they are reading a bus schedule, and just very calmly and very quietly and very impotently and very weakly talking about the things of God in such a monotone way. And although God has saved countless numbers of lost souls, even through that kind of preaching, Don't you think that it is important that we preach with passion and urgency, and as if the eternal souls of those listening is at stake? And Charles Spurgeon, someone we both think very highly of, he believed that it was important. Don't you also believe?
I absolutely do, Chris. I think that gets misjudged sometimes, though. I don't think it's a matter of volume and sweat. I think it's a matter of, I forget now who was described this way, but his preaching was described as blood earnest. And I think that's the key right there.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of fundamentalist folks preaching with a lot of volume and power and boldness, but sometimes their messages were very shallow and sometimes, dare I say, silly.
Yes.
And sometimes heretical. And that, I am not broad brushing. I have friends, very close friends, who are independent fundamentalist Baptists, even of the King James only variety, who are wonderful brethren, who love Christ, who are very biblically literate. I just disagree with them on certain issues. So I'm not broad brushing, but so the volume and the fury is not all of the package either that a biblically driven, spirit driven pastor should be involved in.
Yeah, no doubt. And so what I would say is what characterizes men of God, and that's really what we're talking about. We talk about spirit empowered preaching. I would sort of divide the subject up into two parts. A man who is filled with the Spirit as he's preaching, that's spirit empowered preaching. At the same time, for preaching to be everything God intends for it to be, it means we embrace what God has given us in his word, describing how the work is to be done. And so it's both. It's I am a man who has the Spirit, and I'm walking by the Spirit, and I'm carrying this work out in the power of the Spirit, relying on the Spirit. At the same time, I'm embracing what God designed for preaching to be. And I believe what he designed for preaching to be is read the text, explain the text, apply the text, but in a way that is skillful. So you raised a very important issue, and I'm going to deal with this Thursday night. I don't want to preach my sermon before I preach my sermon. But Paul rejected what the Greeks had come to love in rhetorical skill and oratory, which brought attention to the speaker. He did not reject rhetorical skill and oratory skill. He did not reject that. In fact, you read Paul's letters and you see he was a powerful presenter of truth. He was very careful in how he organized his ideas. He was very purposeful in the way that he would take his readers from one subject to the next and build a case. All of that is important in preaching. That gets to what you mentioned, homiletical skill. So yes, this is not a rejection of homiletical skill, carefulness, training, preparation. What it is a rejection of is a kind of presentation that draws attention to the speaker, that gets in the way of the text. That's what we have to reject in our preaching. So when Paul, for example, in my text, talks about lofty speech, that word, that Greek word, is a word that points to sort of a pompous way of speaking, an elevated, preeminent, superior kind of speaking. So that's what he was dealing with, not the idea that we would be skillful in our presentation of God's word.
By the way, I'm going to plug a book. In fact, I'm going to plug it after I come back from the break. I've got to go to our midway break. Please, folks, be patient with us as the middle break is longer than most breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can air their own public service announcements and other local things that is required of them by the FCC. While they do that, we air our own globally heard commercials. Please respond to as many of our advertisers as you can during this time. And even when you can't purchase anything from them, please at least contact them through the contact information they provide in their ads, and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of Richard Caldwell on Spirit-Empowered Preaching right after these messages from our sponsors.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel. and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654.
7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this broadcast. We need them to survive as a radio program, so please patronize them as much as possible by your frequent and generous purchases at solid-ground-books.com, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back as far into history as the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day with such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. And we want to thank Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books for increasing his advertising budget with us here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't forget solid-ground-books.com for all your gift-giving needs for Easter, wedding anniversaries, birthdays, retirement parties, baptisms, and any kind of an occasion where purchasing gifts is a common event for you. That's solid-ground-books.com. Keep that website handy on your refrigerator and anywhere else where you can frequently see it. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click Donate Now, and you could give instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer the old-fashioned way of mailing in a check via snail mail, you could click Support at the top of the page for a physical address where you can mail your checks made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Remember, folks, I try to tell this to you every day, that I don't want anybody cutting into their normal, regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, in other words, don't give your church, your own church, less money in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. And also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at this point in time. Those two things are commands of Scripture. Giving to your church and your family, providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is obviously not a command of Scripture. But if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and family, then please give generously and frequently to ironsharpensironradio.com. Just to go to the Donate Now button, or if you're mailing in a snail mail check, click Support at the top of the page. And I thank all of you who have been doing that since 2005 when we first launched this broadcast. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically sound church such as Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, one that truly honors Christ and has biblically faithful teaching and preaching and practice, well, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to find you a church that might even be just within a few minutes from where you live, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I have helped many people spanning the globe find churches that they didn't even know existed, sometimes even right around the corner from their own homes. So if you're in that position of not having a biblically faithful church home, or you have family, friends, and loved ones in that predicament, or if you're visiting an area on vacation and you want to visit a truly solid worship service, then send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address for you to send in a request to be put on the invitation list at the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring Dan Buttafuoco, founder and president of the Historical Bible Society. It's absolutely free of charge. You will be fed spiritually and physically free, and you'll be receiving a very heavy sack of brand new books donated by major Christian publishers from all over the globe when you attend this event. Absolutely free of charge, Thursday, April 7th, 2022, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, just about 20 minutes away from Carlisle, where I'm sitting now. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and this is only for men in ministry leadership, men who are pastors, elders, and I believe that's the same office, by the way, deacons, parachurch leaders, etc. Send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. We are now back with our guest today, and I am really enjoying this interview a lot. I hope he's enjoying it as much as I am. Richard Caldwell, pastor teacher at Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas. We are addressing spirit-empowered preaching. And right before the break, I just wanted to strongly recommend an excellent book that is on the subject of homiletics, something that we were briefly discussing before the break. My dear friend Gabriel Grossi has written a book that is truly extraordinary and even has glowing endorsements with such powerful men of God as Dr. Joel Beakey and others, Preaching with Biblical Passion. And this is a self-published book, but don't let that allow you to underestimate its power and its biblical truth. And it's just an extraordinary book, and he gleans from the best of Protestant history in regard to this subject, from Baptists, from Presbyterians, from Congregationalists, from Anglicans and Lutherans. And this book should be on the shelf of every pastor on the face of the earth as far as I'm concerned. If you have problems getting a hold of it anywhere, because it is self-published, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I'll make sure I get you in contact with Pastor Gabriel Grossi. As I said before, we are addressing the theme, a very important theme, spirit-empowered preaching. And don't you think that there is far too much timidity and cowardice when it comes to those, even those that have correct doctrine, who ascend into pulpits because they are not relying on the Spirit? They are capitulating to the whims of the day. They don't want to offend people in the audience. They don't want to risk losing their jobs as the pastor of a particular church. They don't want the wrath of the community surrounding them to be outpoured on that congregation. We could go on and on and on. It might be just as something as simple as the pastor craves being liked by everyone. Don't you think that they are not relying enough or at all on the Spirit to empower their preaching?
I do, Chris. I agree with you. If we rely on the Spirit, then we say what the Spirit said. You think about those seven letters to the churches in Revelation, and our Savior is communicating, but drives home the point that the churches are to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So to rely on the Spirit is to say what the Spirit said. What the Spirit said is Scripture, and so we preach the Word of God without apology. One of the things that Paul says he avoids in 1 Corinthians 2 is he avoids a kind of communication that is not straightforward and plain. And so cowardice is not what the Spirit of God produces. Boldness is what he produces. I do think we have those sort of two things going on at the same time in our culture. We have a lack of carefulness on the one end of the spectrum. We have men who are so desiring to be bold and faithful that I don't think they always practice a carefulness like they need to in what they communicate. On the other end of the spectrum, you have men who never say anything. They're so nuanced, they say nothing. And so what we need is communicating the truth and the love of God. It's straightforward, it's clear, it's plain, it's unapologetic. It says what the scriptures say, and yet communicate that in a way that you understand that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So we're going to trust the Lord to do his work in hearts, and we're going to communicate the truth in the same spirit in which it is meant to be communicated, which is ultimate and supreme loyalty to God, but genuine love and care for the souls of men. And when you talk about passionate preaching, I'm going to try to get that book you just mentioned. I wasn't aware of it, but it sounds like something I would enjoy. And I think that the key to passionate preaching is what you and I talked about before the break, and that is, and I couldn't remember the name, but Thomas Chalmers was the preacher that this was said of him, that he was blood earnest. And I think that's the key right there. Do we believe what we preach? And if we believe it, I mean, if we really believe, if you're talking about hell and you believe in hell, that's going to come through in your preaching. If you believe in heaven, it's going to come through. If you believe that men are lost and blind and enslaved and need to be delivered from the domain of darkness, that comes through if you really believe that. And so what I'm afraid, Chris, is we have men preaching who don't really believe what they preach. And that's why it becomes just sort of data dump sermons versus impassioned preaching. But I don't think that impassioned preaching is measured, as we said, by volume or sweat. It's earnestness, it's genuineness, it's sincerity, it's conviction. Do I believe this? I listened to Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers, and Lloyd-Jones is not loud, but he's blood earnest. I listened to John MacArthur, not overly animated, but blood earnest. And I think that's what characterizes spirit-empowered preaching. We believe what we preach.
Amen. I agree with every word. Now, if we leave out the more obvious flawed or even false preaching of modern evangelicalism, we leave out Joel Osteen's, and we leave out those that are just trying to build up the self-esteem and the happiness of the listener, regardless of what their state before God is. If we leave those folks out, what would you say from your experience, from what you've heard from the pulpits of other men, is the greatest flaw within the pulpits of churches that would claim the same doctrines that you and I cherish?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say one flaw that I'm concerned about is not allowing the argumentation of the biblical writers to actually form the sermon. So I think we're doing preaching the right way. The sermon actually arises out of the text. All I'm doing is recognizing the organization that's already present in the text, so that I'm a man whose own mind and heart must be submitted to the text before I declare the text. I think it was Stott who had the book Between Two Worlds. And so as we preach the Word of God, I have one foot in the world of Scripture. I have the other foot in the world I'm living in. And my task is to bring what was in the day in which that word was first delivered, to understand it in that context, and bring it into the world in which I'm living. I think what happens too often is we try to bring the message over too quickly. We don't really, we have to go back before you can bring it forward. And we don't do a good job of taking our listeners back to the world of Scripture and allowing them to hear those verses as the first audience would have heard it, and then bridge into our world and make valid applications, bring forth valid implications of that text, and apply those things to our hearers. So, if there's something I would criticize among our own circle, we're like-minded, it would be to work really hard at that, to allow my sermons to be shaped by the shape and the form of the text itself, not use it as a launching point. In other words, I think, Chris, what we have is a lot of theological preaching that instead of expository preaching. We have a theological point that is based in the text. We're not wrong that it's in our verses, but we sort of preach above the text of Scripture so that we're making our theological point based on that text instead of allowing the text to say what it says, and from that, anchor theological truth.
From the context that was intended, or the context that surrounded the original author and the intent of the original author.
Yes.
As my friend James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries has frequently said, I think this usually comes up when he's debating someone who is misrepresenting him. And he will respond to his opponent that if you're going to quote someone, quote them honestly and with integrity as far as what they are truly saying in their own writings and taking them in context and so on. And there are preachers who violate that when it comes to the God-breathed perfect word.
So true. So right on. Yeah, exactly. That's my concern. I trust. We're talking about faithful men. That was the point of your question. So the motives are good, but I just don't think we're careful listeners. As Dr. White was making his point, he's saying you can't really critique me till you hear me. You can't,
right.
You can't really
critique me accurately.
Exactly. So I think we have to do the same thing with Scripture. We've got to listen to it before we can deliver it. And listening to it means I've got to hear it in its original context.
Yeah, one thing about the original context, I think that a lot of the problems, and maybe you agree or maybe you disagree with me, but I think a lot of the problems that non-Calvinist, non-Reformed Christians have, those that reject the doctrines of grace, when they are attempting to exegete certain passages, especially those that in the English language and perhaps even in the original languages reflect a universal idea of certain things. The uses of the words all and everyone and so on. Don't you think that sometimes this is occurring when people are actually applying or eisegeting a universal salvation, whether it be a full-blown universal salvation, like a universalist might teach, or the more common amongst evangelicals, the idea of a universal atonement, that it is intended for everyone, every single human, even though a minority of them will actually benefit from that atonement. Do you think that sometimes it is a failure to comprehend or realize the context of certain passages that use universal terms? Because in certain cases, the audiences were Jewish, and the idea of the Gentile nations being offered the gospel and an opportunity to become children of God was a scandal. It was something that was completely foreign to the minds of many, if not most, Jews in Christ's day and earlier. They had a bigoted notion of Jewish exclusivity, ethnically Jewish exclusivity, and even Peter got himself in trouble and required the rebuke of the Apostle Paul when he was not eating with the Gentiles and so on. Am I making sense here?
Yes, you are making sense. Yeah, and what you're talking about is context. The word all doesn't always speak of universal in the sense of the entire world. Sometimes it speaks of universal in the sense of a particular class of humanity, a particular category of humanity. So yeah, you have to listen to those terms in their context.
Yeah, just like in the book of Revelation, we have John referring to those from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And the concept of all being out from all of those groups, not necessarily every single person that has ever lived or ever will live in the future.
Well, one example of that, for example, is Romans 5:18, which says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. If you don't understand the two uses of all in that verse contextually, you've got universalism in salvation. Adam's one trespass led to the condemnation of all humanity, all those who have been born of Adam. And he says one act of righteousness, that's Christ's finished work, leads to justification and life for all men. Well, if all means the same in the last part of the verse as it meant in the first part of the verse, then you have universalism and salvation. So you have to hear these terms carefully and in their context.
And I have to bring this up if we're going to be trying to clean house in our own camp. One of the major flaws, I believe, of those who share our confessions, those who share a profession of the doctrines of sovereign grace, is that very often you will ironically and tragically have pride and arrogance as the fruit of those who claim to believe these things, which is 180 degrees opposite from what those teachings intend to bring about in the mind and heart of a sinner, which is humility. And don't you think that we have to be very careful, as much as we want to be meticulous, and rightly so, about the accuracy and truthfulness of doctrine and theology? We cannot think that our possession of those things, our understanding of those things, at whatever level we understand them, makes us superior to others who have been purchased by the same blood of Christ as we have.
Without question. In fact, I agree with this. I go so far as to say that you don't even understand doctrines if they puff you up. The truth that they represent does nothing but humble men to the dust. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, blind, enslaved, deaf, unable to do one thing to help myself. And God, in his sovereign kindness, opened my heart, opened my spiritual eyes to see the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. I did nothing for that to happen. That was entirely God's work. And so if there's anything in that message that exalts me, I don't know what it would be. And then when you go on beyond that and you ask, you know, what have I received since? And what will I receive for forever? What part of that did I earn? What part of it did I deserve? What part of it is explained by me? The answer is none of it. And so, you know, this was Paul's question to the Corinthian church. What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you act as if you didn't? Why do you boast as if you didn't? So wherever you have pride, you have people who have wrongly assumed to themselves what is only explained by God. And so if we understand these doctrines, they will not puff us up. They will humble us to the dust and show us what we really are without Jesus Christ, and that's nothing.
Now, one thing that is a controversy amongst those with the same profession that you and I have is the debate over what to include in a sermon, even if you're involved in expository exegetical preaching. And what I mean by that is there are some brethren who may have our same confession and so on who will say, I am not going to bring up controversies of the day, such as the heresies of the woke movement, such as same-sex marriage, such as other things that are on our TV screens and on our computers and in all forms of media on a daily basis, because I'm just going to stick with the text. And if the text doesn't specifically mention things like that, I'm not going to address them And as much as I might be personally opposed to those things, I'm not going to bring them up in a sermon. And there are others that say that even if they are involved in expository preaching, that there will be texts that do address the very root of why something is a heresy or an abominable act. So they will specifically mention by name the heresies of the woke movement. They will mention infanticide that's going on in the abortion mills. They will mention the abomination of same-sex marriage and things like that. Where would you stand, and how would you respond to what I just said?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll completely agree with what I'm going to say, which is perfectly fine, and press back if you don't. But I'll tell you what my view of that is. So we talked a moment ago about having our one foot in the world of the text, one foot in the world of today, and that's necessary for faithful preaching. So I am of the mindset that as we see those principles in Scripture declared, lived out in the first century, I've got to ask, how does this affect my life, the lives of my hearers, the sheep God has assigned to me as a local church pastor, to our elders? How do I apply this? And you cannot faithfully apply Scripture without recognizing the things in your own, the issues in your own day to which these principles speak. And that would include wokeness, which we've dealt with that in a conference at our church. It would include homosexuality, gender confusion, which we've addressed in a conference at our church. So we're not shy about making those applications. However, I must remember, I don't shepherd the world. I don't shepherd churches, plural. God called the elders of Founders Baptist Church to shepherd the flock among us.
I guess you're not the Pope then.
Exactly, Chris. And so what I think is hurting us right now in many cases is through social media, through the exposure we have to instant news all over the world, we act like what is happening in every place in the world at any given time is happening in our back door, and it's not. And so we're constantly being distracted. We're constantly being upset. It's almost as if we have an omniscient existence, which is, that belongs to God alone. We were not meant to live in an omniscient sense. And so what I think we would do well to pay attention to is, what is going on in our church right now? What needs to be addressed in this congregation? I don't mean in a way that turns a blind eye to what's happening in the rest of the world. I don't mean in a way that doesn't care about our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the globe. I don't mean we don't pray for one another and care for one another, but I've been given an assignment. And one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for how I've watched for the souls that God assigned to our church and to our eldership. I want to be faithful there. So, yes, address all the issues of the day as you come to them in the text. You've got to make those connections. But I am not going to stay constantly upset about what's happening all over the globe at one time, because I have an assignment, and I want to be faithful to the flock that God has assigned to us.
Amen. Well, if you didn't hear it, I just gave a very loud sigh of relief after hearing your answer, because I agree with you 100%. You know, and here I am picking on independent fundamentalists again. And remember, folks, I'm not broad brushing. There are many fine men in that group. But one of the things I find interesting is that over the years I have heard fundamentalists preaching. They very often will be very, quote, quote, bold and uncompromising, preaching against sins that are not known to be committed with any frequency or any, there may be no known committing of certain sins at all in their congregations. And those are the sins, and those sins perhaps even only, that these fundamentalist preachers will be, quote, quote, bold and uncompromising about and preach against with much fervency and elevated voices. But don't we need to remember that the people in the pews right in front of that pastor need to be rebuked and challenged and exhorted over issues that may be more common in that church, the sins of pride and gossip. And not that we would ever take a woke movement spin on this, but the sin of racism. In fact, I believe that one of the primary heresies of the woke movement is ethnic racial, quote-unquote, bigotry. I believe we only have one race of humans from God. I use that just because the common vernacular of our day uses the word race, but I think the woke movement, those involved in it, are today the chief proponents of actual racism, anti-white racism. But we need to preach against racism, especially if it's known to exist in our own congregation or in our community. Am I making sense?
You are making sense. And I think what illustrates what you said in an amazing way are the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, because you have churches existing at the exact same point in time, existing in the very same general region of the world. So they're very much all exposed to the same sorts of things, and yet each of those letters is different, and each letter addresses specific sins, in the case of those churches that were corrected, addresses specific sins occurring in their congregation. So when the Lord of Glory walks in the midst of his churches and addresses us, he's not general. he's specific. This is what's going on where you are. And so I think what we've, and this gets back to what we talked about earlier, Chris, we've got to begin, if we aren't already, to be men who submit our mind to the text as we're preaching it. We let the text, because when you do that, you're going to address, there's going to be a great variety in your preaching. Something's wrong if no matter what text you preach, the sermon sounds the same. Because every text has great variety in it. And if we're faithful to do that, then we're going to address all the sorts of sins that would affect any congregation. And yes, when we know specific issues in our particular congregation, we must be faithful to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That's the part of shepherding people. And we preach publicly and house to house too. So we preach what we do from our sermons, but then we also meet with people and shepherd them individually, and help apply Scripture in a way that deals with the specific individual weaknesses, issues going on in our own congregations. But you look at those seven letters, each one of them is different. Seven churches existing in the same region, existing at the same time, yet all those letters are unique to those congregations. And we have to practice the same kind of shepherding.
We have to go to our final break right now. It'll be a lot more brief than the others. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Richard Caldwell right after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
And look for me if you attend the Anchored in Truth Conference, the True Church Conference, in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, this Thursday through Sunday, February 18th through the 20th. And I would love to see as many of you as possible there. Go to anchoredintruth.org, anchoredintruth.org/true-church-conference/. And we are back with our final moments with Richard Caldwell of Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas, one of the scheduled speakers at the True Church Conference. We have been talking about spirit-empowered preaching. And if you could, I want to make sure that you have a few minutes of uninterrupted time, Pastor Caldwell, to really bear your soul, to really have etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today what you most want them to remember when they leave this program.
Thank you, Chris. First of all, I just want to say what an excellent job you do. And I mean that sincerely. What a great interviewer you are. I appreciate it very much, the way that you've conducted the program together. So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's the best birthday gift I received today, that's for sure.
appreciate you. I think what's most on my heart these days, Chris, is I think we all recognize we're sort of in a new season. At least those of us listening who are United States citizens, we're in a new season in our country. We recognize there are not only dangerous things already happening, but even more dangerous things on the horizon. I think our instincts are that what we need is some sort of movement to address those things. And so there seems to almost be, and I'm about to be in a conference. We host a conference every year, so I'm not against conferences. There seems to be this mindset that what we need is more and more conferences to address the big issues of the day. And what I want to say is I don't believe that's the need. I believe the need, as the True Church Conference will address, is healthy churches. Most Spirit-empowered preaching is not taking place in conferences in our day. I'm not saying that conference preaching isn't Spirit-empowered. I'm saying most of what the Spirit of God is doing in our day is happening in obscure places, in fields for shepherding, all over this planet, in local churches. Faithful men, largely unknown, who love Christ, love his church, and are faithfully opening the scriptures every week. And so what I want to say to those listening to us today is, if you're in a healthy church, thank God for your church. Thank God for your pastors. Encourage them. Pray for them. Attend to their ministries. Let them guide you well. If you're not in a healthy church, time is too short. If you have the opportunity to be in a healthy church, go be in one. Time is too short to sit in unhealthy places. Make the most of the time you have for Christ. Spend your life well. Don't waste it. And so the burden on my heart these days is faithful pastors engaging in faithful pastoral preaching, faithful churches, healthy churches. That's the need of the moment.
Now, you said something very important, and I don't want to insult those that have said this and are doing it, because they may be actually making inroads by the grace of God in less than adequate churches. But very often, I will hear from brethren that are right on the money in their personal, their theological positions, their understanding of the scriptures. Their life seems to be glorifying to God. But I am very often shocked to hear that the churches where they are members are really abysmal. They are perhaps not in the actual category of being a cult or a false church or a liberal apostate church, but they are really known even across the board in the community where they are as being compromising and very weak. And don't you think the excuse that I am here to make improvements, I'm here to have a positive impact, even though that can be an occasion where that is truthfully being conducted and it's bearing fruit, that is an excuse that's too often made and it's really stunting the growth of the one saying it?
I do, Chris. I think there's a difference between churches that have had a good foundation and have had good teaching, and they're in a season where something, is afoot in the church that isn't as healthy as it once was. There's something to be said for fighting for that. I understand that. I think the church at Corinth represented that. I mean, that's why Paul takes them back in that second chapter to how it all began. Can we remember how it all began? So you have a true church that is going through some challenges. Well, that's different than to be in a church that it's off at the very foundational level, and you have opportunity to be in a healthier church right there in your area. There's a difference between those two situations. So if you're in a church that has a healthy history and you have an opportunity to make a difference, to see that restored, that's one thing. But to just remain in a church where your growth is going to be stunted, where things are not going to change, where it's off at the very foundational level, and you have opportunity to be somewhere else, I don't know why you would stay there. I would go be a part of a healthy congregation.
Well, folks, please join Pastor Caldwell and myself at the True Church Conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, this Thursday through Sunday, February 18th through the 20th. And for more details, go to anchoredintruth.org, anchoredintruth.org, and click on the conference tab at the top of the page. Also, don't forget about Founders Baptist Church in Spring, Texas. Their website is foundersbaptist.org, foundersbaptist.org. I want to thank everybody for listening today. I want to thank Pastor Caldwell for doing such a superb job, and I want you all to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.